Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us and let the Lord use you. I know that God is doing some excellent things and speaking some excellent words. Amen. We're just excited that He has chosen us to do this Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast, the ministry that He's given us, and the sons and daughters all over the world that He's given us, in the gospel of Jesus Christ that we share with all of them. We're so grateful that God has counted us as worthy, and we're excited about what He's doing in our lives. Tonight, we want to go into more of a dialogue for our broadcast tonight, because there are some things that are occurring. The Holy Spirit is speaking. We want to share some scriptures with you and also look at what the Holy Spirit is saying. So my co-host tonight, Prophetess Crystal McQueen, will be here with me. And Lord says the same. We may do the like on Thursday night, as the Lord gives us clarity in this season and in this time. But before we go any further, I want our Prophetess Crystal to give us our announcements and to lead us in our prayer. Prophetess.
Amen. Good afternoon or good evening, wherever you may be. And once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Just want to let you know, in the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7, every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursdays, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. And you can hear us right here at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website. Please take some time to visit us at the website. Learn more about myself, Apostle McQueen. Learn more about Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, our mission and our vision. And speaking of our mission, we are also asking for you to partner with this vision that God has given us. And we're asking also that you will partner with our sons and daughters that are also doing a mighty kingdom work in the Lord. Our sons that are located over in Africa and Pakistan, over in Nairobi, Uganda, Kenya,
Uganda.
Thank you.
You almost got me saying
it. We got another one coming, okay? I just prophesied that. So we're asking not only for your prayers, people of God, but we're asking for your financial support. As you go to our website, we have a donate button that is located on the left-hand side. Please, as you go to the Lord and ask Him what it is that you need to give, please, as you hit that donate button, put in the box put your information in, what you want to donate, and we will make sure it gets right into the proper hands. Amen. As the Bible says, you lend to the poor, it's like lending unto the Lord. Amen. So continue to pray for us. Pray for our sons and daughters. Amen. That they will fulfill their kingdom vision and mandate in the earth. Amen. As we pray for you to fulfill your kingdom vision and mandate in the earth as well.
Amen. Those assignments that God has given us.
Yes. Amen. Amen. So also we have King Redemptive Ministries has a Facebook page. Visit us, CTKRM or WOPD. Like us on our pages. Let us press the like button on our pages. And please also send us your prayer requests and your praise reports. If you would like Apostle or myself to come and minister at your church, we have on our website a contact page. Go there, fill that information out, give us a name, email, and contact number, amen, and someone will reach you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen, we are getting ready to go into the Word. I'm excited, so let us look to the Lord, amen, in prayer. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we glorify, we magnify you. God, we just thank you. We praise you for all your, for just being majestic. We thank you for your glory. God, we thank you for your favor. We thank you for life. We thank you for life. We thank you for life. And even more so now, God, we thank you for the shaking and awakening that you are sending to your church right now. Those that have an ear to hear, let us hear what the Spirit is saying right now. Father, I'm asking that you will begin to awaken the sleepy intercessor, the sleepy prayer warrior, the sleepy watchman, the sleepy apostle, prophet. Wake up the leadership, God. Wake up your people, Father, as we begin to cry out to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Open our eyes. Remove the scales, God. Unstop our deaf ears, God. Have us to focus. Amen. Like we've never focused before. We need direction, God. We need your mercy. We need your grace. God, we need to repent before you for all the craziness, Lord. We're asking in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you would begin to just pour out your Spirit on us once again, that we would begin to cry out for you, that all we will permanently ask for is just you and you alone, just more of you, giving you praise, giving you honor, worshiping your holy name, being content, God, with what you have given us, being content with the life that you have set before us, God, speaking and preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, crying out for our lost souls, God, in the name of Jesus, crying out that we too must be saved, crying out to save us to the utmost. In the name of Jesus, God, right now, we ask Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place, begin to move, breathe upon this broadcast, breathe upon this message, every word that comes out of our mouth, breathe upon it now in the name of Jesus. Let it shape, shift, and change someone's life. Let it change a heart. Let it begin to awaken someone's soul. God, let it begin to not allow us to just stay sleepy and content and just lull into dulldom. God, we're asking now in Jesus' name to wake us. Wake us up in the Spirit. Holy Ghost, wake us up. God, help us to cry out in the midnight hour. Father, in the name of Jesus, cry out for your mercy. Cry out for your justice. Cry out for your love, your loving kindness. Just cry out to you just because you are God and God alone. Father, we seek your face like never before. Cause us to walk in obedience unto you, Father. Your will, your way, and your purpose. Father, we thank you. Amen. We thank you. We glorify you. We praise you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen. We're so grateful for that prayer and what God has given us as a gift in Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I want us to take a look at the this past weekend. There was a I can't say it any other way but a travesty of justice that occurred in Sanford, Florida. group of a jury acquitted the murder of Trayvon Martin. And what really saddened me was the fact that there were many who were Christians, you know, who applauded the failing of a system to bring to justice what was clearly a young man screaming for his life approached, you know, and the way that everything transpired. I have 15 years of policing under my belt. So for those of you who are opinionated, please keep your opinion to yourself. 15 years I lived and dealt with investigation and saw how the system actually works from the inside. When I walked away from that system, looking at how it actually was put together, I knew that it was never about justice. It was about whatever your conclusion was. It was how they used the system to come to you know, the end of whatever it is they were trying to accomplish. So I've seen a lot over the years as I worked as a police officer, walking away from it. They tried to use the system against me. And, of course, I already knew what they were doing. I was part of that system. So, but God had already prepared us before that, a year before that, to let us know what was coming. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when it came, it wasn't a blind sight. It was a confirmation of what the Lord had already been speaking over the years. But this is not about what I went through. This is about what we as a nation, what we're going through. And I want to really make sure that we didn't take this and look at it as an isolated incident. And, well, this really doesn't happen. It really hasn't happened like that. This is something, you know, that is, I guess, problematic within the legal system. We need to look at it. The laws of the land are to be applied equally across the board if they're to have any validity on the board at all. This means that I can't do things to you and not get away with it. Or I can't use your law or use the law legally and have it backfire on me. And then people who use legalities and technicalities to do harm to others walk away free. What do you mean? Well, right now there's a young lady, Marissa Alexander, who is spending 20 years in jail for firing two warning shots to get her abusive husband off of her and away from her at the point where she feared for her life. She did not shoot him. She did not shoot at him. She shot in the ceiling. And then, you know, trying to make sure that she could get free because her child was there. And those of you who understand the stand your ground, it, at the moment that she felt threatened in her life, then she would have been justified based on the letter of the law. But the interpretation of that law is that it didn't apply to her. So in her own home, with her husband aggressing her, she had no right to defend herself. If someone said, would have been better off if she had a shot the husband.
Mm.
You know, but she's spending 20 years in jail when her defense was stand your ground. Okay, Apostle, maybe that's not, there were some things in that case that may have caused it to go the other way. I don't think so. But I'll give you that one. Let's look at it. Maybe there were some technicalities that were overlooked, you know. Well, why didn't she run out the door or something else? No. Stand your ground means that you don't have to fight or flight. You don't have to deal with that at all. Not in the state of Florida. At the point that you feel threatened, you have the ability to pull the trigger. As George Zimmerman's attorney, so grace, yeah, as he put it. Okay, so now here you have the ability to fire upon an unarmed, person and take life. Well, let's look at another. Jordan Davis, 17-year-old black male, was shot by a white 41-year-old male in the parking lot of Gateway, or is it Gateway or the gate of the service station.
Mm-hmm.
So he's playing his music with his friends. They're sitting in the vehicle. Guy, white male, approaches them, talking about the music. There's words exchanged. White male pulls out a gun, shoots the juvenile, kills Jordan Davis. Not threatening his life or anything else. Again, white male initiate confrontation and takes a life. Okay. In this instance, he wasn't arrested on scene. He left. He came all the way to Brevard County, which is where we are, where they decided after everything was said and done to go ahead and pursue after him for the charges. So, if there was no outcry or anything else, there probably wouldn't have been even so much as an investigation that would have went long term. It would have probably just covered the basics, for civil and left alone. Well, here you have another instance of a 17-year-old male over personal preference, a life taken. Over how loud he was playing his radio. And for those of you who said, well, we don't know what was on the radio, it doesn't matter. If he did, it could have been country music and he liked rock. You understand? It doesn't matter what was being played over the radio. And there are some songs and things that we know may have some 18-plus, perimeters on them as you listen to them, but it's still not enough to take life. So this is something that the man didn't have to address because that was not in his car. He didn't, as a young man, jump in his car, turn his station, and blare it. He was in his own vehicle,
mm-hmm.
And after all of this comes down to these loose gun laws that allow people to, based on what they feel is right, take a life, we have to look at it. But mm-hmm. another life has been taken. Let's see how the law should work. There's a man who is doing housework over in Tampa, building houses and everything. Several of the neighbors have filed, what do you call those?
Complaints?
Yeah, there were complaints, but through their lawyers, they have set up where the guy can't come around the property or anything else. And I've been using that for years. I remember the word, the formal term of it, safety for domestic violence. Normally, they get a restraining order. That's it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. They filed a restraining order against this man. In order to get him away from their house and away from their families, went ahead and settled on the property earlier. The man had a week, 7 days to finish up the work, and then he was restricted from property. There was the man's teenage son was at the house and saw unknown male in the backyard going through things and around the property, tells his father that there's a man in the backyard doing some stuff. He don't know who the guy is. He tells his son, go inside the house and shut the door, call 911, I'm on the way home. As he's preparing to come home, and while he's still on the phone with his son, he can hear the man in the background and recognizes the man's voice as the contractor. Mm-hmm. So he gets to the house and pulls up into the driveway. He sees the man go over to his truck, reach in his glove compartment, put something in his pocket, and start approaching him. And seeing what he's doing and seeing him on the way, he reaches in his glove compartment to get his legal, his firearm that he has. He legally has it. And he's on his property in his driveway towards the house, and he's backing up, telling the man to get out of here and get away. And he's still approaching. He fires a warning shot into the ground. The uh-huh. guy still comes, and as he is reaching up towards him, the man reaches in his pocket and charges at him. He shoots the man and strikes him and kills him. Fearing for his life, fearing for safety. As they check the pocket where the man was reaching, he has a large folding knife that he was going for at the time. Now, this is the man who has terrorized not just his family and this man, but the neighbors and neighbors in the area, so much that legal counsel had already been sought concerning this man. So this isn't somebody who was peaceably talked to. This is someone really who had demonstrated they had violent tendencies and had shown it. Mm-hmm. You know, this man right now that I'm speaking of, his name is Trevor Dooley, 71-year-old man in Tampa, black male in Tampa, the contractor, a white male. And Trevor Dooley right now, the jury rejected staying your ground, and McNeil, that's what his name is, McNeil and George, that's what it is, black male, has a life sentence, and the aggressor was the white male. Mm-hmm. Trevor Dooley in Tampa, it's another one, 71-year-old black male, you know, the jury rejects staying your ground, as he's dealing with just trying to get home with his granddaughter. And 41-year-old white male is aggressing him. And with his hands around Trevor's neck, you know, Trevor's trying to get free. Mr. Dooley shoots this white male. And they reject stand your ground. Clearly, with his hands around Mr. Dooley's neck. If there was ever a fear of serious imminent danger, it should be there that he could use the stand your ground to defend himself and the life of his granddaughter, who, by the way, is still dealing with therapy to this day. See, these are things that I'm talking about. Now, please forgive me for the McNeil in Georgia with the life sentence, and Mr. Dooley, who was over in Tampa. You know, I'm looking at my notes and trying to read my own handwriting. Blame that to my writing skills and not to the facts of what I'm saying. But when you look at these things, in each one of these instances, Marissa Alexander, Trevor Dooley, Larry McNeil, black males or black female using stand your ground to defend themselves or to ward off serious physical harm or deadly harm to themselves, rejected stand your ground. Jordan Davis, 17-year-old black male, maybe causing a little disturbance, but nothing worthy of death, accosted and shot by a white male. So when you hear things like that and we start to deal with what's going on concerning Trayvon Martin, we've been dealing with these type of issues for a while. And it looks a whole lot like it used to look back in the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s when there was atrocities done against minorities by those who considered themselves supreme or supremacist or better than. So the laws were put in place that should have helped us are the same laws that we use legally that were turned back on us, and we spend 20 years in jail. We spend life sentences. You see, this is an atrocity when a young man who is told to not pursue, told several times, don't pursue, don't approach him, leave him alone, authorities are on the way. And out of his own mouth, he decides that, you know, they always get away from this and I'm not going to, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And he gets out of his own vehicle and he approaches, makes the contact, causes everything that occurs there. Had he stayed in the vehicle, then there would have been a 17-year-old who would have been found to be going back to his dad's place. And he wouldn't be dead today. Now, to add salt to all of this, he uses the saying, stand your ground. And then we find out that he has been studying MMA fighting and everything else. He's not in fear of his life. He takes on that type of thrill and rush. It's what he does. But now we have a vigilante with a gun who's just been acquitted for dealing out what he felt was justice when it was just him. See, we have to, as a body now, as a church, the church, we have to look at how do we explain that the blood of Jesus has been applied to all when there are so many of us who still have a separatist mentality and especially uphold such behavior that obviously Jesus would have condemned. See, we have to put this into a proper perspective. And I know that it is our responsibility in clergy to help deal with these situations and bring peace and bring order. But even as we're bringing peace and order, my brothers and sisters, there are still some questions. We are failing. And what do we do to correct? How do we get in here and how do we bring order before we get back to riots and We can't go back to Jim Crow laws and Jim Crow mentalities and blacks or coloreds here, whites only here and all the rest of that. You know, this is the same fight that has been going on for a long time. And you can understand that President Obama got into the White House and the first thing that happened was there was agenda fighting all the way. Congress is at a stalemate now. And nobody will move because those who feel that they are right and supreme will not work with those who are trying to bring about order here. There's 50 years we've been out of, we've had civil rights activism. And just recently we've seen that those rights have been challenged in court and partially overturned. 50 years. See, we have to really start looking at this, and we have to take this to heart, because if the enemy of our souls has his way, he'll will tear the country apart over who's right and who's wrong, or who's the greater right or who's the greater wrong. And after all is said and done, when the enemy comes in to divide and conquer, he could care less whose side is right or wrong. He's waiting on you to destroy yourself to a point that he can come in and take over and do what he wants to do. And you'll find out that his agenda didn't have either one of your sides' best interests.
But his.
Huh? But his, as you said, Prophetess, was the agenda that he really saw. So we've been fighting for a while. But now we need to put aside these things and we need to come back together. It's interesting that as a political sense, you can look at it and see that there's Republicans and Democrats and who caused what problem and who's doing what. Well, they believe in abortion, they believe in that. And after all is said and done, I've seen from both sides there have been moderates and conservatives within the parties that have gone to the extreme or who have stayed mainline or baseline. And all this means simply one thing. It means that after all is said and done, based on every situation, whether an abortion, whether gay marriage, gay liberal rights, and let me just say something concerning that. You know, legally in the United States, we have set up that the laws will be honored regardless if you're on the winning or the losing end of that argument. So we'll still honor the laws because it's what governs the people. But when we try to, as the body of Christ, stand up and govern the laws, the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders, that we can live peaceable lives. And what some have done is they have gotten into the political mix and left Christ for agendas. So we're not preaching kingdom anymore. We're working and walking out agendas. And then we come back and we put his face on there and say, you know, the Lord wants us to. No. Because he wouldn't come to destroy what he's telling us to secure and what he's telling us to build up. God is impartial when he called us as sons and made a way through Jesus Christ's blood to be children through adoption through the Spirit of God. And the blood of the Holy, the blood of Jesus is what brings us in. It is that cleansing blood that makes us all black, white, red, green, yellow, whatever your color is. It makes us part of the same body. So we have to get off our horse, quoting and trying to make people think that we are doing the work of the kingdom when actually we're doing our personal agenda. There is a popular religious program that comes on. And the person who's on there has a habit of speaking racial slurs and things out amongst the people. But because it is a foundational broadcast, people just overlook it. But the reality is that he's a racist hiding behind the cross. Now, how do you hide behind the cross? You speak your slur, and those folk and this gonna happen, blah, 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 blah. Oh, but Jesus. Wait a minute, hold on. Because if the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, you know, redemption of man, then how can you pick by color or by desire who's going to make it, who's not? So what are we saying here? We're saying that not only is the system broken, society is broken, and religion is broken. But I'm so glad that we finally got around this corner so we can understand what we need to be doing here. Because if you keep holding on to your religion and your political stance and your religious right stance, then you don't affect a change. You're part of the problem. People who have no interest in God or anything else will help you to push that agenda because it doesn't push the kingdom agenda, which is bringing peace. It is conforming ourselves to the image of Christ. And let me just give it to you again. Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane is being betrayed by Judas. And the first thing he does is he makes peace with Judas, friend. The next thing he does is as Peter is going forth and he cuts off the ear, he replaces the ear and heals. And says, put the sword away. So now all of your vindictive actions have been counteracted by the actions of Jesus Christ. And if you are a Christian, then you should be following a Christian example, especially of the one whom we name our actions after, Christ. So how can I, as an apostle, cause the harm to the body and still remain an apostle? Because then I'm not doing what he gave me to do. And you've heard me say it many times that we need to get back to the kingdom assignment that God gave us. And today I'm saying again, we need to get back to preaching about holiness. Get back to the assignment that he's given us. I refuse to comment a lot on social media because I know a lot of things can be misconstrued, and a lot of times those who have ministry titles don't articulate the mind of Christ at all. There's a lot of personal preference, personal isms and hurts, and you know, so we have leaders with titles who are bleeding all over the people. They won't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We preach, and all you have to do is go back to the archives. You'll hear often that we talk about conforming to the image of his son, transforming your mind into the mind of Christ, which means that everything that you have done all of your life has led you to your isms, your insecurities, your proclivities, your actions, the things that you do, the way that you look at a different race or a different gender or a different ethnicity is all based on your experiences of what you come up being told. You understand that? And your experiences as you interact with those people. And a lot of times the reaction that we get is the action that we saw based on what we have been told by them before. So if we believe if I was told coming up that white people are all mean and devilish and mean you no good and they're always out to get you, then every interaction that I would have with a person of Caucasian descent will be an expectation of them being mean and honoring and trying to do something. You see? Mm-hmm. So if you come up believing that every black person is lazy and trying to get over and a shyster, then no matter what happens, you'll be looking for every black person that you meet to be shady, shyster, trying to get over, trying to figure out a way to hoodwink you or take advantage. See, those are stereotypes that were given to us by those who preceded us. And back in the day when they were coming up, maybe that was true because we did deal with segregation and certain other instances. It was just a few years ago that the last person who had ever experienced slavery died. See, we're not so far removed from that lifestyle that we don't know that lifestyle. But we have to progress on. How can we say that we're all equal and free, give our lives, whether we're from a Hispanic, a Caucasian, African, island, whatever descent, Asian descent, how can we come here, put on a uniform that bears the flag of the United States of America, go out, give our lives, come back maimed, come back damaged, you see, and then get back and people who wouldn't go sit back and make laws and rules that tell us how much of American we really are. Thank you for your service, but we're not going to honor your claim. So what? You lost your house. How many veterans are living in the woods right now? They might as well be over there in the woods. We taught them how to survive in the bush. We brought them back, and then we steal their houses, and they're back in the bush. Lord, help us. What kind of gospel are we really preaching? And when I'm talking about the gospel, how many times are we going to talk about your next car, your next house? The Lord's about to take you up to the next level. Brothers and sisters, if you have a yoke upon you that was placed upon you by the Holy Spirit when you were called, then you should feel the Spirit of God in anguish. You should feel this, the anguish of not preaching the gospel. It's not about the cars, the houses. It's not about you getting a higher paying job. See, we're supposed to be here to heal the land, but we're causing the same damage to the land that those who knew not Christ, knew not God, caused. We got to get this together. How do we get it together? Well, we're praying. We're asking God for wisdom. Because emotionally, you can move. But if you move in the wrong direction, you cause the same amount of damage. We can't move without wisdom. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to pray. It's time for us to tune our ears back to the Spirit of God. Because the enemy is walking us around like puppets on a string and playing with us. And your authority in God is being used for anything and everything other than the will of God. So we got to get this together. I believe God wants me to live good. Yes, he do. In living good, he told you to pray for your leaders. You see that? Why pray for the leaders? Because the laws are made by the leadership. You see that? How you live and your ability to live at that level is controlled by those who actually make the laws. No wonder the lawmakers have found themselves in the household of faith, trying to find a way to get the backing to do what they feel is right. See, it's not that they're really saved. A lot of them have no salvation in them at all. They know how to be good politicians. And if being Democrat was the way to go and it assured that for the next 20 years they would be able to be in political service and everything, then they would switch and flip-flop from being Republican to Democrat because they're really not in it for religious right. They're in it for political longevity. We've mistaken the gospel for an agenda. And we got to get back to the gospel. Prophetess, do you have something you want to say here?
Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen to everything that Apostle has spoken. And one of the things that he hit on that was very profound to me is the fact when he was talking about the religious TV show, amen, and how the gentleman makes his racist, radical comments, and we applaud. Some churches applaud. But yet, we just sat up here and crucified a secular person just saying the N-word over 10 years ago and try to burn that person to the ground. So do you see where the injustice is at? And the injustice is also, amen, and I understand it's not everybody, but there are many, amen, that have used the social media as their platform, their ministerial platform. Many of these, and now the Lord revealed it to me, many of these people do not have churches. Many of these people do not have people that they're accountable to. They're just out here talking. They slap the title on their name. They put a couple of good scriptures on here. And then we sit there and follow them. How many, let me tell you how crazy, amen, this situation is. We have prophetesses, apostles on here play on the social media playing the numbers game.
And bishops.
And bishops.
Pastors. Jesus.
And all kinds of stuff. Playing the numbers game. And what do you mean by that, prophetess? In other words, people will, they'll tell you to inbox them your number, whether it's your birthday or whether it's the year you were born. And then they begin to prophesy to you off of a number. I'm sorry. The last time I checked, that was numerology.
Which is that divination. That was psychic. Which is psychic and which witchcraft. <It's>
and we as Christians are too dummy down spiritually.
Numb down, yes.
Mm. Numb down spiritually that we'll sit here and email these people to see what they're going to say. So we can go off, oh, praise the Lord, or we want to go off and cut them. And even when you're dealing with, and I found, amen, people of God, that many of those that are in leadership do not have the compassion of Christ.
At all.
Yes, Apostle, at all. Because when someone says something to them that is not in agreement with what they believe or what they perceive to believe, you see a whole other flip side of them. Folks be ready to curse you right out. Here, let me tell you something about the scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 11 through 14, it says, there is a generation that curse their father and does not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. We're living in that time today, people of God. Living right here in that time. And yet is not washed from their filthiness. In other words, there's nothing wrong with me. I can do whatever I want, say whatever I want, not live a holy lifestyle, not be committed, not be sanctified, not even ask for forgiveness. Just go on and just do whatever I can. The Lord loves me anyhow. He says, there is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes. In other words, they want everything that they see. Anything that attracts them, they want in it. Going out for the highest bidder, most expensive thing I could get. He said, and their eyelids are lifted up, very prideful. Can't tell me nothing. You need to come up to my level. You need to come up to where I am. He says, there is a generation whose teeth are as swords. And their jaw teeth as knives. Why? To devour the poor from off the earth. And the needy.
That sounds just like prosperity theology.
Listen here.
People come to the church now to receive from God and to have their lives better. But what they find is they find businessmen in collars and with ties on, chains in their pockets, finding and trying to do damage greater to the body. If you didn't know any better, then you would think that this is really what Christianity is about. But these people come in have no knowledge of Christ. And the knowledge that they receive is that you need to give to me as much as you can. And that's going to increase you in your life, because that's what God wants. Knowing that the people don't read the scripture or study at that level, they twist the word of God into believing that in order for you to prosper, you must first give everything to me, because I'm your spiritual father and mother. So every time you see me give. Well, I have bills and I have things and they're about to repossess my car and we're about to get kicked out the house and we need God to move. We've been given, we've been sown, we've been following the scripture. And then they say, well, what do you have? Sow that into your leadership and God is going to bless you. And then they lose the house. Then they come and get the car. Their utilities are cut off and life savings given away.
But we still need you to give.
And then the person comes back and says, well, you didn't mix your faith with it.
They're sending your life.
So See, and all these things are just a trickery of men to get your money out of your pocket into theirs. And when we look at the Word of God, the Word of God is very clear when we deal with this type of stuff. And we haven't taken that into consideration. The sadness here is that those of us who actually have come through the fire, the Holy Spirit has tested and tried us and put us through the paces to be who He called us to be. Instead of walking and crying out against this, we buddy up with them. And they teach us their way of fleecing the fly. And we take it on because, after all, oh, Doc, I remember when we struggled. Woo, I remember when we struggled. Listen, when Jesus sent out the disciples, He sent them out two by two and told them not to take so much as a second coat or a money belt or anything else. So how is it then that we can have greater than anyone in the congregation and tell them that they're going to come up? There's someone who calls themselves a spiritual father and an apostle, and the first thing that we see in them is that they drive the best cars. They live in multi-million-dollar homes. But people who have been with him, giving into him or sowing into him, as they say, and still driving the best they can do is 2001 vehicle. And not even top of the line. You've been with them that long, sowing into them that long, and you still haven't come up. Either the principle don't work or you doing it wrong. Now, for those who really believe in that, they're doing it wrong. But we sat there, Prophetess and I, and listened to it for...
what, 2 years?
2 years. And I'll tell you that it wasn't that it was applied wrong. It was that the theology was wrong. So that's how we get into all of this other stuff that has nothing to do with God, but has everything to do with how man is aggrandizing himself to walk in the image of God. So people wanting to be religious or wanting to have connection, not knowing God, they come in and they grab hold of it because it sounds right. They put on the airs and make it feel right. But guess what? After all is said and done, sin is sin. And God is not mocked. See, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So how then can we get to our Trayvon Martins and our Jordan Davises and other atrocities that we see in the land? We'll get to that because we refuse to preach the gospel running after prosperity in the name of the gospel. He didn't give us this. We're not supposed to be here trying to get rich off the people of God. We're supposed to be changing lives and helping people see that without Christ, there is no hope. We got to get back to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's no way that you actually come in and excuse bad behavior based on twisting the scriptures. So what applies to one applies to all. What I say unto one, I say unto all. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Huh? Look, this is what the Holy Spirit said to me earlier today in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. And He said, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their lands. Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to prayer may enter this place. Now, what are we talking about this right here? What are we dealing with here? Solomon has been praying, and he prayed and offered sacrifice unto God. And then the fire of God fell down and it filled, the place took the sacrifice, and glory of the Lord filled the house. You see, when we go back up to the first verse, then we'll see these words. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the house, the Lord's house. When all the children saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped, praising God, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." So in other words, he was in a place of seeking God concerning the people and concerning the nation. And as he's dealing with all of this, he sacrifices and he does what he needs to do. God responds to that and accepts his sacrifice. And then his glory fills the house. Everyone sees it. Everyone responds to the glory of the house, the glory of the Lord that fills the house. Then the Bible says in the fourth verse, then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. We're not just doing this to get a response. We're getting this, doing this so that we can worship after he responds too. See, we stop preaching for the Holy Spirit to respond. So we get our 3 or 4 points and then we go forward, you know, putting together good theological arguments. And presenting other things, and because we can do that efficiently, then we feel that we are really doing the work of God because people are liking what we're doing. Well, listen, if you haven't had a response from heaven concerning what you're saying, then you're not preaching the gospel that he wants you to preach. He didn't anoint you and call you or call you and anoint you for you to be a wonderful spokesperson for living good and happy lives. We're not in that time anymore.
Motivational speaker.
Thank you. Motivational speaking in the household of faith has to stop. We got to get back to preaching the gospel. Souls are dying. People are going to church feeling that they're okay to carry sidearms in the household of faith as if God can't protect himself and his investment in the household of faith. So we have armor bearers who are armed up to the teeth with sidearms and all kind of other things and a backup in my boot and everything else because we don't know. Well, you never know. I remember back in the day when somebody ran towards the altar if the devil was doing it and we said, "Halt, loose your hold. We bind you in the name of Jesus." The person was stuck in place because the power of God, the name of Jesus, arrested them.
We don't have power.
There's no power because there's no gospel. Brothers and sisters, we got to get deeper into this on Thursday. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. The burden on our hearts is real because there's no gospel being preached. The people are hurting in the land. We're looking at atrocity upon atrocity upon atrocity, miscarriages of justice, misrepresentation, a misapplication of the same code. Adversely applied based on gender and other political agendas. But yet, people are blind to what's happening. Help us, Lord, to open up our eyes. If we're going to have peace in the land, if we're going to walk forward and fulfill your assignment you've given us, we have to do this according to your plan and your will. So help us, Lord, to focus back on you and begin to preach an unadulterated gospel that brings release, reality, renewal, revival, and relevance back to the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone not saved under the sound of my voice, that they would pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Lord, if they praise that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church that they can be developed and matured and fulfill your kingdom assignment for them in the earth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, I pray for healing in the land. I pray for our leadership. I pray, Lord, that every trick and plan of the enemy be overturned and turned out in the name of Jesus. We pray and we thank you, Lord, for every miracle, sign, and wonder that comes in the name of Jesus. We pray, amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. There, I pray that you will become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.